Management.
For company this time.
Oh, beautifully done. Eden Hazard scores for Chelsea. A dazzling little run through Schmeichel. And that is the 3 points sealed for Chelsea.
Signed, sealed, and delivered at Stamford Bridge this morning. Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing, everybody? Welcome to another edition of New England Soccer Weekly. As it is a beautiful 73 degrees outside our Marina Bay windows right now. Brad Calandrella on the ones and twos, spinning it for you behind the glass. Thank you very much, buddy, right there. Filling in for Sean Donahue today. The man, the myth, the legend, the heavyweight himself, Justin Churchill, in studio. Gentle like a giant, though, let me tell you. What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, I'm just sitting on cloud nine, you know, top of the table. What can I say? You know, Chelsea, great.
He's a Chelsea guy. He's a Chelsea guy. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we should have probably won that game 4-0, but we got 2-0 win. That's still pretty good.
Softball opening matches for Mourinho in his second season back with the Blues after departing a couple of years ago for Real Madrid. It's my best. Actually, no, that was Inter Milan he left for, and then he went to Madrid, right?
Yeah. And then he basically got forced out of Real Madrid. But it's okay.
I think it worked out for both sides.
Yep, we're happy, and I'm sure they're happy too.
Good opening morning for Chelsea, as you said, 2-0. Other games going on. We got Everton and Arsenal happening in about 23 minutes here. We'll have Craig Ford on the program at 12:20. So while you're relaxing, take a break from Rebecca Lowe. I know it's hard to. It's hard for me to take an hour out of my day away from Rebecca Lowe, but we do it here on New England Soccer Weekly. As I said, Craig Ford from MLSsoccer.com will be on the show today to talk about tonight's Revs and Chivas USA match. A new derby that I just found out about. A new derby! I didn't even know this has existed. For Revs fans, they're going to enjoy this one. Is this the inaugural opening of the Tarp Derby? Is this like the first official Tarp Derby match?
That's what I'm hearing on Twitter lately. A friend of mine, Chris Camille, I think, came up with this, and if you notice, both teams have tarps at the end of their behind their goals and in games because of their stadiums and their situations. So it's a little witty play on it, but it is a tarp derby.
Let's at least get the diehard fans a little something to get into for the games, especially when you got a Chivas USA team right now sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference. Amazing that with 24 points, they sit at the bottom of the Western Conference, Justin. But if they're in the East, they'd be 4 points behind New York for fifth place.
Yep.
That's astounding.
That's the difference between the two conferences lately in the last couple of years. This is a must-win game for the Revs. But Chivas USA, I mean, they still technically have a chance at this. But it's so tough in the West that,
yeah.
I mean,
they're 9 points behind Vancouver Whitecaps for fifth place in the Western Conference. Vancouver Whitecaps with 33 points. Chivas USA with 24 points. So that's that. Okay? Okay. Now moving back over to the Premier League, though. Opening up on the morning. First off, Aston Villa. Brad Guzan. For soccer fans like ourselves here that are really about our country just as much as we are about our own clubs, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Brad Guzan is a name that American soccer fans have kept a close eye on. Going back to the 2010 World Cup, talk about Chivas USA. Guzan played with Chivas USA for a little bit, and now starting goalkeeper for Aston Villa. You wonder if he's the guy for Klinsmann in 2018.
Yeah, I think with Tim Howard taking his little sabbatical here, it's kind of interesting. But I've always thought that Brad Guzan deserved a bigger shot. I know that Klinsmann's been fully behind Tim Howard, but I think Brad Guzan is kind of a keeper that can make maybe not as flashy of the saves, but he makes a lot of saves week in and week out, and he makes the good, you know, the good safe positioning. I think he has better positioning than Howard, more or less.
We're taking your calls too right now at 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Brad Calandrella behind the glass, spinning it for you on the ones and twos. You got those phone lines open? Did you open them yet?
Phone lines are open.
Guarantee me that right now that we'll have one call on this show before we're out, before 1 o'clock. Guarantee me it.
Woburn. Woburn has to call
Woburn's
in.
Woburn's got
to
show up. Woburn's got to show up. Woburn, I'm calling you out. You're my town today, all right? I'm picking the town every week from now on to call into the show. Woburn's the first one's getting called out today.
Woburn's all over the postgame shows.
Yeah, they got
shows.
The post-game
all
show
over the postgame
covered.
Shows.
I mean, you
got to
hear these guys every week. But, yeah, 617-237-1234 for the diehard fans listening to New England Soccer Weekly right now. It is an immense point, though, going back to the Premier League real quick. It is an immense point for Aston Villa to pick up 4 points because in looking at that 7:45 game this morning, Justin, I thought to myself this. Aston Villa is going to have a very tough time scoring this year, especially without a guy like Christian Benteke in the lineup. And Newcastle should be scoring more. They can't capitalize on opportunities. So I think both teams, in a sense, were reluctant to pick up a point in this match and get 4 points. And Aston Villa with 4 points. Newcastle gets off the mark this year with a point now. And it still could have gone either way this morning, even though it was kind of a snooze fest.
Yeah, it was kind of draw. But I kind of agree with your point on the fact that both teams were kind of playing it safe there. Aston Villa, they don't really have a lot of offensive prowess right now without Benteke. And Newcastle,
a lot of French players on Newcastle.
A lot of French players, a lot of frustration for their fans last year, towards the end of the year. And I think
it's a manager issue, man. I think they got to get rid of Pardew.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. Didn't he blame the fans at some point last year?
Blame the fans at some point. He headbutted Tom Huddleston.
That was interesting. Yeah, that he completely blamed the media, and I was like, oh,
right. The media plays on the field, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
imagine if Jay Heaps started blaming us for the Revs' downfall.
Nah, let's hope not. Let's just hope not. But you know, with Newcastle. You know, they don't think they did enough in the market. Maybe they're just trying to play it safe, save some money. I'm not sure if their financial situation.
And they get all these quality players. You think about Younes Kabul.
Sold off a couple, too.
Sold. I'm thinking of the Frenchman that they sold to Paris Saint-Germain last year. Kabay. Mm-hmm. Johan Kabay. Yep. So, I mean, this is a club that does pick up its gems. I mean, they finished fifth place not too long ago. And now a draw with Aston Villa today at least gets them a point on the year. Other checks on the morning, you had Swansea and Burnley finish 1-0. Swansea, you talked to me earlier about them. The Swans could finish high in the table and shock some people this year. Maybe this year's Southampton, if you will.
Yeah, I think they still have good quality players. They got rid of a few, but one player that sticks out to me is Ki-Sung Young. I think he's really underrated. He saved Sunderland last year. Mm. He really did. And he's back on Swansea. He was on loan last year. You got your John Joe Shelvey, who never really got a full chance at Liverpool. And I think on Swansea, he's kind of developed a little bit more. And then Sigurdsson came back from Tottenham, and he's done well. He helped set up the first goal, or the only goal today. And, you know, he did well last week, too. I think he got a goal last week, too. So
one of the most picked-up players on fantasy this week on the Barclays Premier League website. Chelsea and Leicester, as we had said earlier, 2-0 finish. Southampton and West Bromwich Albion finished in a 0-0 draw. West Ham all over Crystal Palace, 3-1. Shamak, again, it seems like early in the season, this guy will carry the Eagles, Crystal Palace?
Yeah, there's something like that.
They look like an eagle.
Cool that they're associated with the actual Crystal Palace Park, I think.
Fair. And they could be strong. They could be heading down relegation path. You think about everything that's fallen out with them. They've lost their director of football. Malky Mackay was supposed to be the new manager, and now Malky Mackay is some racist bigot that we just found out about, according to Vincent Tan.
I mean, to have your coach just quit before the season is that's when you ask Tony, the question.
Yeah, Tony Puel is stepping down before the season starting, and as you said, you have questions to ask, and I think a big part of that has to do with just the fact that, you know, the director of football, Liam, got to look up the guy's name that just stepped down for Crystal Palace, but it is an ugly situation over there, and it looks like they could be heading back down to the championship. So that's the Saturday morning games today. Everton and Arsenal just going to kick off here in 15 minutes on NBC. That should be drawing some record ratings right there, because Tim Howard, after the World Cup that he had, this will be the first time that he's on national TV post the World Cup. Absolutely incredible, and it should be a big day for the Toffees, having a disappointing opening last week, tying Leicester 2-2. I'm going to do that from now on. Thank you very much, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, I think that game is going to be pretty good. Arsenal is going to be tested, one of the bigger teams that's tested first, I think. With that matchup, so.
And you know what, they don't have and it's not like Everton has the strikers either, but it's not like Arsenal has, they've got a great midfield, they've got an exceptional defense, Polish hammer in Wojciech Szczęsny, but they don't have the strike force that you would expect.
No, I mean, we'll see what happens with Alexis Sanchez, see what he can do. I mean, sometimes if you look at Chelsea,
do you think the Premier League is going to be too tough for Sanchez?
Yeah, I think last week was a kind of an indicator of that a little bit, but it's all about how he can adjust. I mean, the best players in the world always adjust to where they play, and you know, I say it's the best league in the world, and you have to adjust to it.
Some people would disagree with you, though.
A lot of people disagree with me on that.
I don't understand that, though, really, because it feels like all the South Americans and all the best European players at one time in their career will come over and play in the Barclays Premier League. The only guy that's going to be the exception there, maybe two guys, Messi and Neymar.
Yeah.
Those are the only two guys I see never stepping in the Barclays Premier League.
That's just not their style. But right. It's all about your style. If you want a player that doesn't like getting hit around a lot, then you don't go to the Premier League. You go to La Liga.
It's probably why Ronaldo's as good as he is today.
He's fantastic.
You know what I mean? Because if Ronaldo didn't have the stint that he did with Man United, and he had... They won the Premier League, I think, three or four times with Ronaldo there. They won the Champions League against Chelsea. They were consistently...
You had to say that.
I had to say that. In Russia, of all places.
It's like our homeland.
Imagine if, like, you're the owner of Chelsea. Yeah, it's pretty much like your second home, and you lose at home against Man United. But, yeah, point being, if Ronaldo doesn't play in the Barclays Premier League, he's probably not one of the best players in the world today, because La Liga doesn't propel you to the top like the Barclays does. In my opinion,
it's kind of hard. I mean, it depends on what team you end up in La Liga.
That's a big part of it too. You have to end up on
Barcelona creates their players from the system that they have from start to bottom. So if you look at a Barcelona player, you take them, compare them to a player that Real Madrid bought. Real Madrid doesn't necessarily develop players as well as Barcelona does, but those two teams are great. Atletico's pretty good. But the gap between the third-place team and the rest of the teams in the league is where I see the difference in the Premier League.
We'll talk more about it throughout today's show, but coming up next, Tarp Darby Tark next with Chivas USA and the New England Revolution. Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com. Go nowhere. It's New England Soccer Weekly.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
JP3 Graphics in Weymouth can help you out with all your custom graphic needs. specializing in custom vinyl stickers, motocross graphics, truck lettering, vehicle wraps, landscaping signs, and more. When you need something designed and printed, JP3 Graphics can do it for you, giving you the professional look you need without the high cost. Call JP3 Graphics today. Mention this ad and the setup is free. 781-812-0846.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. You could save.
Your friend, teacher, boss.
So learn F-A-S-T, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634. That's 1-800-593-5634.
The South Shore's historic Italian restaurant, The Venetian in Weymouth, has been proudly serving families for close to 100 years. Family-owned and operated using Grandma's recipes for that authentic Italian touch, Venetian serves lunch and dinner, specials daily, and breakfast on the weekends. Join them Wednesdays and Thursdays for live music. Planning a party? Let The Venetian do catering for you. The Venetian, 909 Broad Street in Weymouth. Call for takeout, 781-337-4363. 781-337-4363.
Bunbury makes life miserable for Ricketts, who is out of his goal. If the Reds can take advantage, Fagundes driving forward on the dribble. Ricketts back in. Charlie Davies onside, off the post and in. The flag stays down. Portland has no idea why that wasn't offside, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that second goal is always crucial. But with that being said, a one-goal lead at home should be good enough to get 3 points. So we just have to be better with the ball and take care of it. And I think, you know, if we were better with the ball in the second half versus Portland, I think, you know, they don't get any chances, and we win the game.
Motown, just like some of the biggest classics. Brad, you're making my day. Thank you, boy. Thank you. Like, I can't tell you how much the King of Pop, like, makes my day better sometimes. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm, like, over-obsessive right now with this, you know, Michael Jackson love fest. But his birthday's next Friday, so you got to give the guy some props, right? Say that again?
You know when his birthday is?
Yeah. I looked it up before I came on today.
How old would he be?
He would, I think he would be north of 50. Let's see.
He could still be making some music.
He might have faked his death, but I'm not going to get into that conversation.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other day. Let's jump to the hotline right now. Joining us on the program is writer for MLSsoccer.com, a good friend of the show, Craig Ford. Follow Craig on Twitter at Craig_Ford, F-O-R-D-E, not like the famous car, or the president, right? Or unless you got some, like, hidden family that you want to tell me about here, Craig.
I wish I did, my friend. Good afternoon to you guys. Hope all's well over there.
Good. How you doing, buddy? Enjoying the morning?
What's that?
Enjoying the morning soccer on TV?
Unfortunately, with two little kids, I don't have a shot at morning soccer. I wish I used to, but it's all cartoons and going to the park for me. So
any good cartoons at least?
Different than most.
Any good cartoons at least?
He watches a little bit of Ninja Turtles, but they're not the Ninja Turtles I grew up with. So it's a little skewed, but you know, he's into my son's into superheroes, my daughter's into whatever's on, so it's all good.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, so we got Craig Ford here today from MLSsoccer.com. And Craig, tonight for the Revs, an immense matchup between a Chivas USA team that's sitting in the doldrums, if you will, of the Western Conference. The Revs could put themselves back into a playoff position tonight with a couple of points. What do you think about the evening?
They have to walk away with three tonight. You know, everyone talks about must wins, and it's kind of tough to put that into perspective with still 11 games to play, but this is one that they need to capture, especially at home.
Hey, Craig, so, what do you think Jay has to do differently tonight than he has in the past, like, two games or so?
Yeah, perfectly the last two games in particular, it's that second half that's been killing them. And I'm not sure, you know, what's going on in the clubhouse between halves or what's being said, but you know, they come out really flat in the second half. So, you know, strong second half start. Obviously, that first goal is crucial. We've seen that through their losing streak and, you know, through their current streak, the last three games, they've scored first. So they need to obviously get there first and then, you know, make a play in the second half, push for a second goal, get ahead big enough so that they can kind of take their foot off the gas a bit.
When the Revs were able to, there was a point in the year where the Revs would go into a lead with halftime, and it would be guaranteed 3 points. You wouldn't have to worry about even dropping 2 points in the case of a tie. It was guaranteed three at the beginning of the year for this Revs team, and now they can't even find a second goal to even make it challenging for teams in games here, Craig. So what is it about the character of this New England team that's been missing in these past 11 games now that we saw earlier in the year?
You know, I think it all comes down to finishing. They might be getting a little too fancy sometimes when they do have that lead and they're trying different things and taking shots that are maybe a little bit out of the ordinary for them. So, you know, getting back to basics would be a good idea for them and just kind of getting a little bit more of that killer instinct that they might lack a bit since they are such a young group. They don't have that, you know, go out and punch the team when they're down kind of mentality to them. So, you know, getting a little tougher out there and making sure they put teams away, you know, with a little bit more of that killer instinct would go a long way for this group.
There's been a couple recent acquisitions on the team. What are your kind of thoughts on what they'll bring to the team, and have you seen them at training yet?
I have seen them both at training. They both look like, you know, solid athletes. I've talked to both Andre and I talked to Tony yesterday, and they both seem like very nice individuals. I don't know how well they're going to fit into this system, especially where most of these guys have kind of cemented their spots across the midfield and the forward positions, especially Charlie Davies, who's been playing so well lately. You're going to have to tear that away from him at this point, especially if he keeps running the way he has been. Andre could be a solid sub off the bench. Tony's got exceptional speed. On par with Teal, if not faster than Teal Bunbury, who's, you know, obviously the burner on the squad at this point. I think Tony could play a bigger role than Andre. I think Tony Taylor could definitely work, you know, along the wings with that speed of his. I'm not sure who he replaces, especially with Diego on the left and Teal on the right. And Teal's been running real well lately. So it'll be tough for them to crack the lineup, but I think Jay will give them both an opportunity to do so. It's just a matter of how long it takes for them to fit into the system. Tony's only been in there for 2 days now. Andre's got about a week and a half under his belt. So I don't know if that's enough for Jay to be confident to put them in right now. But I would expect them to get some time within the next couple of games for sure.
When you mentioned that you don't know who Tony could replace, whether it be Diego or Teal, my opinion only here, Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com, I think Teal would be the first guy to come and be replaced here, because from what I've seen from Bunbury the last couple of games, the biggest thing that stuck out to me is that he does a great job in getting up the field, but in playing back and assisting the defense, it's hurt this team, and it's allowed teams like New York and Portland to do what they've done against New England, and that is, you know, might be trailing at halftime, but able to work themselves back into games, and in New York's case, get a lead. And I think that just comes from the lack of defense that New England's been trying to generate from up top and in their midfield.
Yeah, you know, I definitely don't disagree with that point either. And the other factor there, of course, is that Taylor's obviously playing a new position there on down the right wing as UC up top as the striker role. And, you know, when he got moved back to there, he's done a lot of work in getting to that point where he can be a playmaker on the outside as well, getting passes in and across. He's done fantastic there, but you know, you're absolutely right. He needs to play more of a role as a defender, and he needs to get back and help out the defense, especially when guys are coming up behind him, like Farrell comes up a lot. And on the other side, you know, you see Alston or whoever might be in there, Barnes. They make pushes up the field, so you know, those guys got to be ready to come back and take their place and backtrack on the defensive side of the ball for sure.
I mean, coming in with Chivas on the end of the Western Conference coming in tonight, and you know, Eric Kubo-Torres kind of their biggest threat. What do you think that defense is going to have to do to kind of prevent him from being as effective as he has been this season?
That is a great question. I think just looking at their recent schedule, they can look at the past four games in particular because the team in general, Chivas hasn't even scored a goal in their last four games. So, if they can look at what other teams have done, they might be all right, but he is deadly. Last week alone, he got off seven shots, three on goal. So, he's going to get his opportunities. It's just a matter of limiting where they come from. And another factor for Kubo is that they just traded away their top assist man, Rosales. So it'll be a matter of if he's got other guys that he's connecting with well, or that's connecting with him, and how the defense can maybe play up against those guys, the guys that are going to be trying to get the ball to Kubo, because 14 goals, 14 out of their 21 goals is unbelievable to look at. He's quite a player to watch, and just got recently called up to the Mexican national team, and deservedly so. He's a heck of a player.
Craig, what do you think about the mentality? I'm going to bring it back to the Revs here quickly. What do you think about the mentality of this New England team right now? I mean, there's plenty of time, as you said, left in the season with 11 games left here. Do you think these guys believe they can make a playoff push here and be serious contenders in this battle?
I think they do believe it, and I think unfortunately, especially these last two games, they've nearly had their heart ripped out of their chest. Last week it was a draw, but the way they ended up giving up that tying goal from Ridgewell, I think they were extremely embarrassed by that, and it showed in the locker room after the game. They were really down, obviously, after that Red Bulls loss prior to that. They probably could barely stand on their own two feet. Both embarrassing ways to let wins slip away from you. So I'm sure that's kind of taken away from their confidence a bit. They do need to regain a little bit of that. A win would go a long way in doing that. This is the team you want to see at this time when you're playing down like that. So I think it's just going to take a little bit of momentum working in their favor to help that push, but. These guys do kind of bounce back pretty quickly. They seem like, even after the losses, they get over it pretty quickly when you talk to them, midweek during training sessions, Tuesday, Wednesday, earlier in the week. They are pretty good at putting things behind them. It's just a matter of taking care of what's in front of them. That's the problem.
And I want to just go to one other aspect of this team right now. So obviously the guys seem like they're still believing that they're in it, but what is the relationship, in your opinion, how strong is it between coach and player right now? Is there a disconnect, do you think, that Jay Heaps is trying to get, instill a mindset into his guys that is just, it probably isn't translating right now?
It's a great question. If there is something there, I personally haven't seen it. They do seem to get along well with their coach. There may have been some problems in that locker room, and I think maybe some of those problems have been recently shipped away. So, that might help things a little bit. Having guys like that bring things down might kind of have a domino effect within the locker room. So sure. without guys in that locker room who are having poor attitudes about things or the coaching and the way things are going, it could help. But again, going back to the fact that this is a very young group, so they're still kind of trying to grasp
what Jay is putting out there for them and still adjusting to it. And, you know, it may take a while for this particular group to put it all together as we think they should be able to. But, you know, I don't think there's an extreme disconnect at this point. If things keep going south for them, there may be some bigger problems there.
With problems, and we talk about head cases and we talk about people that, you know, aren't involved with this team anymore. The one thing that stuck out to me during this whole player movement season, if you will, is that the international presence on this roster is quickly diminishing. I mean, this is not a shot at college kids, but it's an NCAA roster last week versus Portland versus a roster that has world class on it. So my question to you is this. Is it the fact that the Revs are just building right now, or does Jay Heaps just have a complete unhandling right now of how to coach international products?
Wow, you know, that's a great point and great question. I personally, I'm not sure how I'd probably obviously be better off asking those international players, but, you know, there isn't a lot of that presence on the roster right now. You make a great point there. I mean, Jose is about all they have as far as guys that get in there and actually play and contribute. So, and obviously, looking back to the beginning of the year, there were issues there as well. So, you know, you may have touched upon something. It's nothing. I haven't really thought about it in that light. But you probably nailed something there. There may be something there, and especially with the way those international players maybe play a different style. So that's where it all stems from. They're not breaking into the lineups, and therefore there's immediate discord there between that player and the coach. So you know it could lead to the player getting shipped out as we've seen of late. And it could lead to some poor play. And, without knowing personally, you know, just based on what you're saying, you know, I could definitely agree with where you're going with there.
Not trying to throw fastballs at you here, Craig. I didn't mean to do that to you. But
No, not a problem at all. No, it's a great point. And it's a great point to bring up, too, because look at the rest of the teams in the league, and a lot of those teams are relying on their international star power, and it's working for them. So, you know, there is something missing there for sure.
Last one before we let Craig Ford go of Craig of MLSsoccer.com. I was about to say CraigFordSoccer.com, but MLSsoccer.com's Craig Ford. And Scott Caldwell's confidence, obviously, with the Jermaine Jones news that has turned into a long, drawn-out drama on ABC. Where do you think his mindset sits right now with his current standing with the team and where he sits as a professional?
You know, In speaking to him, you know, over this season, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that is too worried about something like that until it actually happens. If it is to, you know, finally come down, Jermaine Jones finally makes a decision or he finally signs somewhere. If it does end up here in New England, then Caldwell will I'm sure be, you know, worried about his job at this point. You know, he got stuck behind Dorman after the start of the season, and he didn't seem to, you know, have too much of a letdown from there. He got to sub in most every game, and now he's back to the starting position. And he's continually getting better week by week. And he's been a strong presence out there the past couple weeks in particular. You know, a couple lapses here and there, but he's coming around. He's only in his second year. He's a smart, very smart kid in general. But, you know, I don't think he worries too much about things that are out of his control. When Dorman comes back and he's still got a ways to go, you know, there might be a different story at that point because then he has to worry about someone that's actually on the roster. So, you know, the Jones saga as it plays out and as we continue to refresh our Twitter feeds to see what the latest rumor is, it's all well and good, but, you know, until he lands somewhere, nobody should really worry until it's actually put, you know, puts his name on the paper.
If for instance, that Jones does end up coming here.
That's a great big if.
Through whatever mess of a system that's going on, do you think he really would want to be here? Do you think that would show to kind of the team itself, the fact that he really wanted to go to Chicago, it seems, but he may end up coming to New England because of the league.
Yeah, that's the part of it that's kind of tough. He from all accounts, it he's shown no indications of having to be, of wanting to be in New England. He's obviously, you know, there's been nonstop talk about him playing near his home, Southern California, and that's obviously a little trickier than him getting into other places. But once Chicago showed interest, he seemingly returned that interest. So, you know, and when New England showed their interest, he did not say anything about it. So I think it is a sign that, you know, he does not really want to play here. Obviously, a lot of guys have trouble, especially guys on that level, coming in and playing on turf as well. So I'm sure that's a factor for him as well. But Chicago, you know, they seem so confident that they're going to get him at this point. Who knows? Until it's officially done, it's tough to speculate, but it's been probably the funnest week to just constantly refresh Twitter, punch in the name Jermaine Jones, and see what keeps happening. I haven't had more laughs at Twitter than I have this week in watching the Jermaine Jones thing go down. It's been fantastic.
Somebody should make a 30 for 30 short on the Jermaine Jones transfer move. It'll get like a million hits on just this area alone.
I just like to see his wardrobe every day when he comes out with something new that he wears. That guy's out of control. He's awesome.
He's absolutely nuts. He is Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com. Follow him on Twitter at Craig_Ford, F-O-R-D-E. Next time we have him on this program, we're going to find famous Fords with the E at the last name of Ford. But, Craig, thank you very much for coming on the program today, and go back to watching the Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles, all right?
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure.
See you tonight. All right. He's Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com. Thanks, Craig. But, he hit it on the head right there. This Jermaine Jones thing is absolutely a crap show.
Yeah, it's kind of, it just shows, yes, the league has come far, but it still hasn't come far enough. Some things need to change in MLS. And
I'm kind of shocked at Don Garber.
He hasn't really said much about it, but he's the one making the decisions here, so... If he wants to go to Chicago and he isn't subject to allocation, then let him go to Chicago.
Yeah. I you know what it is? I just think there is now a push from MLS to make New England good, make New England competitive. That's what it shows to me. If MLS is coming in, I'm going to lay it out. If MLS is coming in here and saying to Jones, we want you in New England, we think it's better for our league in the long run. Chicago's not the team right now that we're worried about. This is going to be a hotbed for soccer in this area in the Northeast because of New York City FC. The Red Bulls are going to be trying to compete. MLS wants three competitive teams in the Northeast, right? So if MLS is looking to make this deal happen, why isn't MLS shelling out more money here for the Revolution? Why isn't MLS stepping in here and making a MLS?
A
soccer-specific stadium, right? MLS stepped in and made the David Beckham deal happen with LA and Lywicki, didn't they? So why isn't MLS stepping in here and trying to make a deal happen with the Revs and Kraft?
That could be what comes out. Why is this stalling when he wants to go to Chicago? Maybe New England's giving him more money and he still doesn't want to go to New England.
That's a serious possibility. Yeah. I'm serious when I say I don't know if international guys want to play for Jay.
Well, technically, he's not an international guy, but it's tough because the league, the way it's set up in this single entity system, there is so many ways for little things to slip through cracks. And, you know, you saw it with the Dempsey deal. Like, how did that happen? Everyone was like, well, why wasn't he subject to allocation like everyone else? Then all of a sudden some other rule came out. Now Bradley's in Toronto. So... like, we need more clear rules. There's a CBA going to be ending at the end of the season. We're looking at a work stoppage. I'm really thinking that's what's going to happen here.
Here's why I don't know much about the CBA, but I will say this about moving forward. MLS has got $750 million now from three different TV networks for their upcoming season this year. Take that money and inflate the salary cap. Do as much as you can to let teams spend as much money as possible. And guess what? Eliminate at least one designated player rule. Like, just allow your team to go out there and spend as much money as they want for one guy. Because we have billionaire owners in this country. Are we worried about not being able to play players all of a sudden?
This is how we compete and make our league equal to those of the world stage. People don't necessarily... players want to play over here because it's nice to play over here. And
it's America.
Yeah, it's if the league can pay as much as other leagues and things like that, it'll start to get better. But it's from the bottom to the top, because you have to look at your lower salaries. Some players are making money. If you look at Matt Beasley's contract before he re-upped this, it was ridiculous. You know, there was players on the bench that were making more than him. And he just went and starred in the World Cup. You know, that's – so there's got to be more room to negotiate. There's got to be more kind of a higher, lower starting range in your salary. And, yeah, I agree that maybe there should be like 4 DPs or something along those lines. I don't know.
Allow a team to shell out as much money as possible. Like I said, yeah, we have owners in this country that spend millions of dollars to tank, to tank.
Yeah, and I think also with the amount of teams that they're adding to this league, I think we're going too fast. We need to address the issues first with, you know, the how much the players are paid before we, you know, expand to 24 teams.
Taylor Twellman would agree with you.
Yeah.
We could continue this conversation next, and we could take your thoughts at 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Final segment of New England Soccer Weekly up next. Go nowhere. I'm Tom Quinlan, host of New England Soccer Weekly, heard Saturdays noon to 1 here on 1510 Yahoo Sports Radio Boston. Along with Julian Cardillo and Sean Donahue, we will preview upcoming Revolution matches, get you ready for the World Cup, and talk all things soccer. Also, listen to my podcast and follow me on Twitter at the Q-Spot Pod. That's at the Q-Spot Pod. For the best local, national, and worldwide coverage of the beautiful game, it's New England Soccer Weekly, Saturdays noon to 1 on 1510 Yahoo Sports Radio Boston.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
Know-how. 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional oil in a Napa silver filter for just $22 is a no-brainer. So now you're free to think about other things. Like, aren't zebras really just horses with cool tattoos? With 5 quarts of Valvoline in a Napa silver filter for just $22, it's definitely something to think about. Conquer the job with Napa Know-How. General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 8/31/14.
Are you thinking about doing something with a mortgage? Don't know who or what to ask or who you can trust? You have to be real careful. If you're thinking about a mortgage for purchasing or refinancing a home, or are 62 or older and considering a reverse mortgage to live on the home's equity, you should call the Center for Sound Consumer Advice Incorporated. They're still the only consumer advocacy referral service in America where there has never been a fee or charge to consumers for the Today in America series of free consumer protection guides. They can even help you arrange a free consultation with a licensed mortgage professional in your area who is a member of the Center-sponsored LendingAllianceUSA.com. There are guides for purchasing and refinancing homes, reverse mortgages for seniors 62 or older, and even a guide about credit restoration. Call the center today to arrange for your choice of any or all of their guides, or for a consultation. Call 1-800-593-6406. That's 1-800-593-6406.
Tia's, Boston's waterfront outdoor cafe and bar, is now open. Located on 200 Atlantic Ave, adjacent to the Marriott Long Wharf, serving up daily lunch and dinner specials, including the famous Tia's Lobster. Come hang out on the patio, enjoy great beer and wine selections, martinis, and summer favorites, including a frozen creamsicle crush, along with a Boston's energy drink. Do what all professionals do say, meet me at Tia's. Call 857-488-5387. It's Tia's on the waterfront.
And I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound. We fell in love as the leaves turn brown.
I don't know.
We could be together, baby.
I'm not the type of guy that wears sweatshirts. You know, it's all about having the legs to do it, I guess.
If you got good quads, all right, that stick out, then you can wear the really short shorts.
I mean, Alexis Sanchez looks like he has pretty good quads and a
Checking out Alexi Sanchez's quads.
Pretty good
quads.
Physique, hey.
Are you all right? Heterosexual, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you think he's adjusted to the Premier League?
I think it's going to take some
time. Seamus Coleman, 1-0.
What a goal. Arsenal fans are crying. That was a great intro.
That's fantasy points for somebody right there. Major fantasy points. 18 minutes into the match, and Everton 1-0 on top of Arsenal. This is exactly the way that Roberto Martinez would have envisioned this game starting today. And Toffee fans are in dreamland. And I love Roberto Martinez. I'll tell you what, man. He's done a great job with this Everton club. And if you can compete like this against top flight teams all year, kudos to you.
He's a great tactician. That's another team when we were trying to talk about earlier, teams that could, you know, maybe sneak in somewhere up top. And they were very close last year to top four.
Very close.
Who knows what can happen? You know, I think they need like one or two players. Maybe they get someone in the winter transfer window, but they are a good team. They are a good team. And I wish him the best. He is a good coach.
They are bringing in loans. One loan I would have liked to see Everton try to make. I know it's tough because they're neighbors. But Divock Origi, I felt like, could have played up top well with Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, he could have. I mean, then they have that nice little Belgian connection. That'd be interesting if that could have happened.
I think that kid, Divock Origi, is going to be good one day. Yeah. I think he could really... He's 19 years old. I think he just turned 20. I think he's going to be a big, big asset for Liverpool.
He's quick, and he's just another Belgian player that is just coming through that pipeline. It's just absolutely ridiculous how good they can be. Another kid... De La Flay, I can't pronounce his name, the kid from Barcelona last year.
Yeah.
I thought they should have gotten him back again, but he was pretty good. I know he had that bad injury, but...
A lot of good Belgians, man. A lot of good Belgian soccer players.
Yeah.
It's nice when your country's like full of 18 million people and you can meet in the middle of the country where it's much smaller than America, where you live with 303 million people, and meeting in the middle of the country means going 1,000 miles west. At least in this case, in the East Coast,
they have the new Dutch system is, I guess, the Belgian system right now, and we'll see what country's next. Maybe it'll be the U.S. one day.
Maybe 2018 is right around the corner. We can only hope. Right. But this is a fun game. And Everton obviously a fun team, and Monday will be good too. We talk about Belgians. Obviously, Origi won't be involved in the Monday night matchup between two massive clubs, Liverpool, Manchester City. And I think that City was looking good as, you know, a top two team this year, right there with Chelsea. But if Mario Balotelli comes in here and does identically what Luis Suarez did, then we got another three-team race. Oh, it's off to the right. No penalty. Nope. Sorry.
That would have been fantasy points for me. But back to the point, yeah. Balotelli is a great player. Great player, but a head case. Obviously, Suarez has his own problems, you know.
But Balotelli's not going to go around biting
people. Yeah, so you got...
He'll just cry.
You got your biting, or maybe Balotelli will shoot off some fireworks at some, you know, youth product of Liverpool or something like that. He's a good player, though. I think Brendan Rodgers can work with him. And he can put him in this, you know, in a similar role as Suarez, where he's like the focal point. But I think Sturridge is the
guy that makes everything.
Yeah,
thick.
he's making it for this year. He's gonna have another breakout year. I mean, he got a little overshadowed by how good Suarez was last year, but he also had a fantastic season. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, Sturridge is a very good player, and England needs to rest a lot of hopes on him because. Most of the other players on that team are kind of, you know, flailing a little bit, and I think he's on the up. I think he's on the up, and I think a lot of people are looking at him.
Would you play with three up top Monday night against Manchester City, especially with the tough back line that they've got back there? I wouldn't be as intimidated as Manchester City's back line as I would if Chelsea's.
No, I think with playing Manchester City, though, you have to consider how much you're going to bring forward there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to play a little conservatively just because, I mean, they're the champions. I'll give you your credit for that, but
you're welcome.
They are. Well, you're welcome for us beating them. But a lot of times, you know, Liverpool is, they can come up with some big results, but you know, City is a very strong team.
and they have to be a little cautious. I wouldn't put three up there. I would put like Balotelli and Sturridge. And
oh, so you would start Balotelli this week?
I mean, if he's fit, but he's been training, so I'm assuming he's fit. But maybe, I mean, it's always tough to tell. You never know. And Italy wasn't set to start for a couple, like a week or so. The actual like Italian league doesn't start until next week, so maybe he's not ready, but maybe he is.
We'll see. Cathal Conlon, far post. Be ready, buddy. City's coming for you. I'm getting all my shots out now at all my Liverpool buddies. John Hurley, I'm coming for you guys. Like, there's redemption on hand. Like, we lost probably the best game of the year last year, Man City did to Liverpool. I'd say Liverpool-Man City at Anfield for the 25th anniversary of Hillsborough had to have been the game of the year, right?
That was a pretty good game. They were playing that before the season started on NBC Sports.
Sure.
I kept forcing my girlfriend and me to watch it. And she's like, you just watched this game. And I was like, it was a pretty good game. You know, and it's kind of along the lines of they had that comeback, right? They were two down, and then they came back 2-2, and then Liverpool came and won. It was a good game.
As
a neutral, it was a good game.
Yeah. As a fan, you're pulling your hair on. It's another game where Joe Hart, you talk about a guy, you know, Tim Howard being a guy that lets in silly goals. Joe Hart lets in the most maddening goals you could imagine being a Citizen fan.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him had his fair share, but he's still a good goalkeeper, I'd say.
I mean,
England has the best luck with those type of goalies that make those blunders a lot of times.
So that's England. Everton on top of Arsenal right now by a tick of 1-0. We have MLS tonight, obviously, New England and Chivas, 7:30. If you're scoreboard watching, if the Revs can win tonight and you get a loss from the Columbus Crew, the Revs would move into fourth place. So something to be a little excited about here if you're a Revs fan.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a two months left here. It's the stretch, so every game really matters a lot more. And this is a must win. Everyone said it. I've said it earlier. Craig said it. You know, 3 points is needed. If not, it's starting to look even more bleak for this team. And I don't think 1 point is enough.
No, I agree. I think you need a win tonight, especially you haven't lost a game yet. And I probably just jinxed it, but you haven't lost a game yet at home against a West Coast opponent. All right. You only have one loss against West Coast two losses against West Coast teams this year. Stay perfect at home against the West Coast, and then go up to Toronto next week and pull 3 points away from then. Because if you can pull 6 points here in the next two games, 6 points equals 33 overall, and you're back in third place.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all you need. That's all you need.
Toronto only has 32 points. The Revs have 27. You look at the parity from that, and when we mentioned earlier with the Western Conference, 33 points barely gets you into the playoffs for the Western Conference right now. So
struggling to survive out West.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some quality teams. You saw Portland last week. Portland was pretty good.
Vancouver's pretty good too, man.
They're right on the cusp. And you know, you got your Landon Donovan, LA Galaxy.
Sure.
I'm thinking, you know, this might be the Cinderella moment this year. Let's see what happens with the
West Coast. I hope it's not. I can't stand Landon Donovan. I can't. I can't wait to this
so
Landon
much.
Donovan. Oh, yeah, he's done so much for American soccer. How many wins do we have in the World Cup? Seriously, how many wins do we have in the World Cup the past two World Cups? Three?
Yeah.
Three. That's all we have to – three wins.
He won a big one.
Give me a break.
Hey,
what's the big one? What's the big
one? The Algeria game. That put us through the next round.
The big one's winning into the final. I don't care about this getting out anymore.
Landon Donovan
is going to be an afterthought in 10 years. Justin Churchill, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem. It was great today.
Brad Calandrella on the ones and twos. He spun it for you. I'm Tom Quinlan. Post-game show for the Revs begins 9:45 tonight on 1510 WUFC following Revs and Chivas. Hopefully a win. We'll see what happens. We'll see you then. Good night.